to bring in Don Memorial of the Hartford Courant. And again, you can read everything at current.com. You can pick up a hard copy too. Dom, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. What's happening?
Not much. You know, I originally asked you to come on to talk about the WNBA. You've written a lot about it lately, and I have my own opinions on a bunch of stuff. But I do want to start with UConn football. I didn't go to the game because I couldn't make it, but I followed it online for almost the entire game, and I listened to some of it on the radio as well. I don't get it. Like, are they not nearly as bad as they were at Maryland, and are they as good as they kind of looked on Saturday? I don't understand.
Well, I mean, football, if you watch college football, you realize most games, probably more games than not at least, are blowouts. A couple of years ago, even the national championship game was, I think, 63-7, Georgia, TCU. So, you know, that's just the way college football is to some degree. If there's just a mismatch that can be exploited, that's what it's going to look like. But, you know, clearly, you know, I throw out the Maryland game. UConn is not on a level to compete with a major Big Ten school at this point. But they are clobbering the kinds of teams that were clobbering them a couple of years ago. And I think that's where the improvement and the progress and any encouragement that you might have about the program comes. You know, I can write off a lopsided loss someplace like Maryland. But playing Duke close and then beating the teams in the so-called Group of Five conferences, that's where UConn's got to be, and right now that's where they are.
I mean, is this team, you know, if they can sort of beat the teams that on paper are like sort of in their band, do they have enough of those teams on the schedule to make a bowl?
Oh, for sure. The next couple are not as good as Buffalo on paper. So, you know, Rice, Temple are teams that it can beat. Georgia State, I think, is a team that clobbered them last year, but I think they're ready to compete against them this year. They've got UMass still on the schedule. UAB is a team on the road. I think they should have a chance to beat. So, yeah, I think they can not only make a bowl game, but be bowl eligible, but not just squeak in. I think 8 wins, 8-4 shouldn't be off the table for them, maybe even 9-3 with just the loss at Syracuse. I think they're good enough to be in a bowl game, and they're good enough to be in a more higher profile bowl than the one they were in 2 years ago.
So two quick questions. One is, do they have a QB controversy? This kid came off the bench and was great, but I know the guy they got from Wisconsin, they gave him a lot of money.
Well, Nick Evers is going to be the quarterback if he's healthy. But I think they're fortunate that they have an experienced guy that could come in and be competent. So they have two quarterbacks who are capable. But I think Nick Evers just has more talent, more upside, and if he's healthy, he's still going to be the starter.
So no controversy, because every time this kid comes in, he does great.
He does, but you know, he's come in situations where, you know, a couple of situations where they were way ahead,
right?
Or one where they were hopelessly behind, or one where he started against an FCS team. So he's been in situations more conducive to throwing touchdown passes, but he's still got to hit the receivers, and for the most part, he hits them. He missed a few early when he first came in on Saturday, but he got on track. So they're fortunate to have a capable backup who's very experienced.
Okay.
And if they have to go to him, their aspirations would remain intact. But again, if Nick Evers is healthy, he's got to be their quarterback.
And really quickly, how was the crowd?
It was not as good as I thought it was going to be. I thought the student section would be more full than it was. Especially when the sun came out, it ended up being good weather. I thought they'd get some walk up. You know, it's hard to gauge. The parking lot is full, and the tailgating scene is very wild. But a lot of times that doesn't translate with people coming into the stadium. Mm. But you know, if they keep doing what they're doing, Brian, that's going to come. I think people are going to come out and watch.
Dom Amore from the Hartford Courant joining us here in Brian and Company. Again, you can read it at current.com. You can also pick it up at your newsstand. Listen, we've talked a lot on the show about the WNBA and, you know, and about how just the way the Caitlin Clark stuff was handled initially, too, seemed really, the players really didn't want to embrace her in the league.
Right. I mean,
the league saw explosive growth, but it was almost in spite of itself. And then you hear these comments from these players about from whether it's racial or gender or sexuality, how much harassment they receive online. And I don't know, I just wanted you to share your sort of thoughts on how the league is handling this moment they have where they really are in the spotlight.
Yeah, the league's inexperience with being covered by mainstream media has really shown here, and they were set up for resounding success. The numbers have been there, and they just haven't handled it well. They've just they snatched failure from the jaws of success. You know, they were perfectly set up for a big success, and they've handled it poorly. People are seeing. You know, one reason why questions get asked that they don't want to be asked is because people see Caitlin Clark getting pushed down or hip checked or knocked down, and they read some of the comments. So there's a lot of fault on all sides here. Maybe Caitlin Clark could have said something more strongly about these issues. If it's not her nature, though, it's not her nature. I don't know what people really expect her to say. And the players, the players should have been prepared by their agents, by the league, by the union, that hey, we have to embrace this that we have to welcome her, welcome the new players, welcome new fans, because it's going to help everyone and it's going to put money and benefit everyone. Yeah. And they just didn't do a good job of that, and they continue to make it worse. Now the union wants to pull someone's credential because they don't like the questions that were asked. Well, that's something that just can't be on the table.
Yeah, I mean, even in this modern day where, journalism is hard enough as it is to get people to ask the tough questions, you can't do that. Really quickly, the nasty stuff with the NNS series on the social media, I didn't do a deep dive, but how nasty was some of the stuff? Was it bad?
Well, I don't do deep dives into social media either because I think that only gives oxygen to people. But obviously, some of what you saw was some of what was put out there by players to illustrate how bad it was really, really bad. Menacing, threatening, certainly racial in its nature. So, the social media scene is bad, but the social media scene is bad. With anyone who's in the public eye, it's bad with politics. It's bad with any sports entity. It's an unfortunate part of the world that we live in. But the league and the union can get on top or get out front of some of these things and maybe make its position clearer on some of these things. It might help. I mean, it's not going to go away, but it might help.
You think, you mentioned, Caitlin Clark sort of being bored and, stuck in rural Connecticut for a couple of days. I mean, do you think that they might move the team to Boston? Do you think that might happen?
Well, we've been down this road before with the Whalers leaving and with the Patriots first committing to move here and then not. You wonder if the league is going to start to feel that it's outgrown the need for a team in Connecticut, that it's that's outlived its usefulness to the league. I have nothing but respect for the tribal leaders and what they've done with that franchise, for that franchise, and for the league. And I hope the league takes that into account, takes their loyalty into account. But, when the players don't have an adequate facility or they have to disrupt practice to accommodate a birthday party or something like that during the playoffs, that's not a good look. That something's got to eat. Even if they just don't rent out the facility when until the season's over, but that's not a good look. And of course the players' complaints that there's nothing to do has probably hurt the Sun in any kind of attempts to sign free agents. So those are things that I think if the league decides, hey, we need to be in Boston, we could get a better TV deal with a team in Boston. We sold out a 19,000-seat arena for one random game in Boston. A franchise could do well there. The Celtics are for sale, and the person who buys the Celtics may very well want to buy the Sun, and there's already an arena and facilities and places to play, and what they need in Boston is already in place. They would have to wait for it, like yeah. the Oakland A's have to wait for Vegas to be built. So, I think there are a lot of things coming together in an ominous way for the future of a franchise in Connecticut. But you do hope that they recognize that this is a place to have a women's basketball team. This is where women's basketball is a big deal, and it's mainstream. Yeah. And hopefully they recognize those things and keep a team here and maybe put an expansion team in Boston and have a rivalry. But, just a lot of things happening that are not conducive to the team staying, in my opinion.
Great job, Dom. We appreciate it, as always.
All right, you got it, Brian. Thank you.
The great Dom Amore from the Hartford Current.